coming down to the close of this year, I just feel drawn back to Psalm 92. It's the word, it's the passage that God gave us at the beginning of this year. This would be a year where his people would get planted. Look what it says here, Psalm 92, verse 12. It says, "The righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bear fruit in old age. They shall be fresh and flourishing to declare that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him." Those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bear fruit in old age. They shall be fresh and flourishing to declare that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. God, we just come before you. Holy Spirit, thank you for your presence here. Jesus, please just minister to hearts right now. Prepare us to receive what you have for us today and every day. Father God, I just pray that we would be a church that is hungry to stay planted and rooted in you. That we would stay planted in your house. That we would finish this year well. That we would finish this year strong. That we would finish this year with roots growing down deeper than they've ever grown before. Lord Jesus, just pray. I pray protection, provision over our house right now in this moment. That we're the devil root. We're the devil place. That we would just lean in and press into you, that we would press into your presence right now. In the name of Jesus, I just declare that over this house. Father God, I just sense right now that we're almost there, we're almost to the end of this year, and there's discouragement falling on people. That the devil's trying to get people to uproot and give up, but the promises are coming. And we believe that. We believe you for it. We take you at your word. That if we'll just stay planted, then we'll flourish. It's a promise for those who are planted. I pray that we would hold on to that right here and right now in this moment. That we would remember, it's not a promise for those outside the house. It's not a promise for those who jump from house to house and never stay planted. It's a promise for those who stay, who stand firm, who let their roots grow down deep in the house, that we'll be fresh and flourishing, that we'll be producing fruit into our old age. Lord Jesus, I pray for perseverance in this house today. I pray for a spirit, no other spirit but your Holy Spirit, and that's a spirit that declares to its people, stay planted. If we're not sure what you're saying today, I pray that we would know that that's a word from you because it's in your word. And we can trust it today that if we will stay planted, we will flourish. Jesus, may your people flourish today. And may we praise you and give you all the glory in this moment. In your name we pray. Amen. You can have a seat. Yeah, maybe. I don't know what's going on with the microphone. Thank you. You all right with this? You good with this one? Okay. Nevin does a lot of our tech, things like that. He helps us out here. We don't know what's going on with my pack. Some kind of demon. Get out of here. In the name of Jesus, go. Pastor Andrew, can I give you the... Oh, here you go. Thank you. Thank you, guys. Oh, I don't like this. I like to move. I like to be free, but that's all right. It's going to be a good day. It already is. The Holy Spirit's moving in this place right now. I just feel coming on here at the end of the year, there's just, the enemy is trying to attack and discourage and get you to quit. There's things that you thought you were hearing God say at the beginning of the year, and now you're just kind of wondering, like, Lord, like, we're almost to December, and it hasn't happened. It hasn't come to pass yet. And the enemy's trying to discourage you and get you to quit, to get you to give up on the Lord. And I just want to tell you, don't give up. Don't stop right now. Don't stop in this place. Keep pressing in. Because it might look like those outside of God's house are flourishing and there's great things happening. And you might be looking out at the world right now and saying, oh, I think there's something better over here. And you might not even be looking out at the world. You might be looking at other churches and being like, it looks like there's something good going on over there. It looks like there's a movement of God. I think I need to move the place that I'm at right now. And what are you doing right now? You're creating a cycle, and you're just jumping from church to church. And you might think, oh, it's okay, I'm still in the church. No, no, no. God wants you in a house. He wants you in the church. He wants you to grow roots down deep where you're connected in community with God's people, because that's where you're going to be fresh and flourishing every day of your life. Now, there's moments where he might release you and call you, but I'm telling you, it's not happening every 6 months, every once a year, where it's just like, well, now I need to go over here. Now I need to go over here. I can't get what I need here anymore. No, no, no. That's the devil. That's rebellion. The devil wants you jumping from place to place because he knows that then you can never grow roots down deep enough to withstand the storms that he's going to throw at you. If you got shallow roots when the storm comes, you've seen storms here in Nebraska. We saw storms this summer. What happens to trees and plants that don't have deep roots? They get uprooted. They get torn down. The storm wins. But for those trees that have been planted in one place and have stayed in one place for a long time, what's happened? Those roots have grown down deep. And when the storms come, they don't take those trees down. They don't take those trees out. Those trees are rooted. He wants you to be rooted in his house. That was the word for this year, to be planted, to have roots that grow down deep. And right now the enemy is trying to discourage and take that away from you because he wants to steal the promises of God. He wants to steal everything that God has promised for your life, that God has planned for your life. He has plans to prosper you, not to harm you. He's got great plans for you. But if you keep jumping from place to place and you keep running from house to house, or you keep running from the house to the world, you're going to miss out on the promises. Plant yourself in his house. Plant yourself in his promises. I had a friend reach out. Old friend. He reached out on Friday. He just said, hey, can we get together and talk? It'd been a while. We hadn't met or talked in a long time. He was a part of this house. And earlier this year, when we started digging in to this word for the year, planted, when we started getting into this sermon series, he was in the house. And I didn't know everything going on at that time. But eventually, he and his family, they decided, hey, this isn't the house for us. I didn't really know what happened. He didn't have a conversation with me. It's fine. But all of a sudden, he reaches out again. And he wants to talk. I'm like, sure. Like, I got time. Like, let's talk. And so I sit down with him on Friday. And I just kind of asked him. I was like, what's going on, man? Like, I tried reaching out. I tried, you know, connecting. I tried to see, you know, was there something going on back in February? What happened? Where'd you guys go? And he just kind of started describing things going on in his life from that time all the way up until this point. And as he kept talking and describing everything, one of the things he said was, I just remember going to church. And it was when we were in the middle of this planted series, and he said, I just remember being there. And he described it like this. He said, I kept hearing you every week after week talk about being planted. And it made me mad. It made me angry. Like, let's talk about something else. I don't want to talk about this. And he said, it just felt dark. Like, it just felt like a darkness too. And so he was describing all these things, and I just told him, I said, in that season, the Lord had put a word on my heart. And he'd put a burden on me. So maybe what you felt as darkness, it was a burden that I was carrying for God's people in that season. Because I knew what he had pressed onto my heart in that season was a burden for God's people to know the truth of his word, that there's a blessing in staying planted. Because we live in a culture that says, if you're not getting what you want when you want it, move on to the next thing. Move on to the next best thing. We say that in marriages, and that's why we got divorce up over 51% in this country. That's why people don't stay committed. That's why people don't stay planted. Oh, I'm not getting what I want. I don't feel the same way I felt in the beginning. Stay planted. Because the devil wants you to give up. The devil wants you to uproot. But I'm telling you, if you'll stay planted, there's a blessing in that. If you'll stay planted in his house, there's a blessing. I felt the burden. What you felt as darkness, I carried the weight. I carried the weight for God's people. And I said, I want God's people to know there's a blessing when you stay planted. In the dark times, in the storms, if you'll stay planted, he'll grow you up. He wants to grow you up. He does. There's too many immature babies in the faith. Man, I'm preaching mad this morning. I'm sorry. I love you. I love you too much. I love that man too much. I love his family too much because I saw what the devil did. The devil got them to uproot. And I saw the hell that he's put them through this year. And as he kept describing everything he wanted for his life, everything he desired for his life, I said, it was all in the house. If you would have stayed, you could have had it. If you would have stayed, you could have had it. I'm telling you today, if you'll stay, he'll give it to you. If you'll stay, he'll give it to you because I see it in this house. I see some of you, you're receiving the promises. I feel the Holy Spirit coming on you right now. If you'll stay planted in his house, don't let the devil win. The devil wants you out there. The devil wants you on your own. The devil wants you jumping from house to house. You'll never be happy. You'll never find joy. You'll never be fruitful. But when you stay planted, the devil can't touch you. And that's what the devil knows. If he can get you to uproot, if he can get you to rebel and go from house to house and jump from place to place, he knows he's got you right where he wants you. I can't feel my hand. You know the Holy Spirit's in the place. When I can't feel my hand, he's here and he's moving right now. And he's revealing to you the dark corners, the dark spots where the devil's been trying to get a foothold in your life. And he's been trying to whisper lies to you and say, oh, if you just run, if you just leave this place, if you just go over here, then you'll be happy. If you just go to be with that person, then you'll be happy. And some of you, you're in here today, and you know this is true because you've been living this life. You've been living on your feelings. And what do your feelings do? They go up and down, right? They fluctuate from day to day, from circumstance to circumstance. We don't live by feelings. We live by faith. And there's times where you feel your faith. You feel it coming on strong. Right now, today, some of you today, you're feeling faith rise. And you're feeling it for maybe the first time ever. But there's got to come a day where you don't feel that faith and you got to stir yourself up. Stir yourself up and make a choice to say, I don't care what I'm feeling. I know what I'm choosing. And I'm choosing to follow the Lord. I'm choosing to follow after his promises because I know who he is. I know what his word says. And he is faithful and just. And he will not leave me nor forsake me. He'll stand with you in the trials. He'll stand with you in the fires. He loves you, and he is with you, and he is for you. So don't let the devil uproot what God is trying to plant, because I promise you, it's in his word. You'll be fresh and flourishing all the days of your life. You'll be producing fruitfulness until you're old. But if the devil can convince you to go from house to house, from person to person, from place to place, and never stay planted, he knows he's got you. What was the devil doing? What was the devil doing? What's it say in the Old Testament? He was out wandering and roaming the earth. What did he do? He didn't stay planted in the place God had called him and created him for. Go to Jude. Here, we're in a series called Jude. Sorry, I'm all over today, but it's going to be good. Woo, go to Jude. Get back there to Jude. If you get to Revelation, you've gone just a little too far. It's right before that. The devil's a roamer. He's a wanderer. He's a rebel. He goes from place to place. He didn't stay planted. The devil's the original wanderer. He's the original one that chose not to stay planted where God had placed him. Are you choosing today to stay planted where God's placed you? Some of you, you're here today, and you're taking the three-week challenge. You've heard us talk about that. Just try this house for 3 weeks. The devil wants you to get out of the place that God is trying to place you in. Don't let him. Get planted in God's house. Jude, verse 5. But I want to remind you, though, you once knew this, that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed those who did not believe and the angels who did not keep their proper domain, but left their own abode. He has reserved in everlasting chains under darkness for the judgment of the great day. Satan and the angels he brought with him, what did they do? They didn't stay planted. They didn't stay in the place God had created for them. There's a place that God's created for you. There's a place he's called you for. He's placed you for such a time as this. And if you'll stay where he's called you, where he's placed you, if you'll stay planted in that place, he will bless you. But the devil wants to get you out of your place because then he can get you out of your blessing. If he gets you out of your place, he gets you out of God's protection. And that's where he gets you. If you're feeling attacked right now, ask the Lord, God, did I step out of bounds somewhere? Did I step into disobedience? Did I step out of the place you called me to? Maybe it's your marriage. Maybe you feel like your marriage is under attack. But husbands, wives, have you stepped out of the place that God has put you in, that he's called you to be faithful? Or are you kind of tapping your toe out into the world? Are you kind of just checking to see what else is out there? Are you kind of just flirting with that coworker? Are you kind of just maybe sending some messages on social media, dropping some comments on social media to people you shouldn't be dropping comments to? You're dropping out of your place. You're stepping out of the place that God's called you to stay planted in. Stay planted in your marriage. You're saying, oh, it's not fruitful. It's a dry place. Water it. Till the soil. Work the land. Work the land. You're a farmer. In God's house, you're a farmer. Work the land. Stop looking at the other land that somebody else has been working and cultivating. Stop trying to go over there. He didn't call you there. He didn't place you there. He placed you here. Take care of the land. Love your wife. Love your husband. Just begin to pour into that soil. Take care of that soil. And all of a sudden, one day, you're going to wake up and you're going to see trees growing. You're going to see fruit being produced that you didn't think would ever be possible. You thought you were living in the desert? No, you just didn't take care of the land. You didn't steward it well. But if you begin to steward it well and you stop trying to look for another place, man, I'm telling you, he's going to bless that place where he's planted you. You might be thinking, the devil wants you to think right now, oh, no, Alex, you don't even know. I married the wrong person. That's a lie from hell. It is. That's a lie from hell. God, some bad words for the devil right now going through my head. He's trying to ruin marriages. He is. He's trying to ruin marriages with this lie. Don't believe it. You didn't marry the wrong person. That's a lie from hell. Start to take care of that person. Start to love them. Start to serve them. I'm telling you, you're going to wake up one morning. It might not be a day from now. It might not be a week from now. It might be next November. You're going to wake up and you're going to be like, where am I? This is amazing. I didn't think it could be this good. I didn't think it could be this good. I didn't know it could be this good. But I just started being faithful and stewarding what God had given me. And what did he do? He gave you back 20, 30, 60, 100 fold. The harvest will come, but you got to take care of the land. You got to sow the seed. Be faithful. Don't let the devil convince you that you can go off to some other land and it's going to be better. It'll turn into a wasteland. Steward what he's given you. Steward your marriage. Steward your kids. Stop looking at other kids and be like, wow, I wish my kids acted like that. I wish my kids were behaved like that. I wish my kid. Steward your kids. Love them. Take care of them. Watch over them. Guard them. Protect them. Speak life over them. You don't see the kids or the marriage that you want right now, begin to speak life over them. Begin to speak life over your marriage. Begin to say, tell your wife, tell your husband, I know who you are. I know who God's called you to be. I know who God's called us to be. You're a woman of honor. You're a man of honor. You're the spiritual leader of our home. You're a man after God's own heart. Begin to speak it, even though you don't see it. Begin to declare it by faith. And I'm telling you, things are going to change. Expect a miracle. Things are going to change. I know it because I've lived it. I know it because I've seen it. Things will change, but you got to speak life. The power of life and death is in the tongue. What you're speaking, what you're saying. If you're just saying it all the time, oh, this is terrible. Oh, this is bad. You're awful. You're the reason for all my problems. No, no, no. Look in the mirror. Start with yourself. Look in the mirror. Stop looking at her. Stop looking at him. Start saying, oh, if you were different. Oh, if you were better. No, 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 no. Look inside before you look outside. And let the Lord do a work in your heart. And I'm telling you, as he does a work in your heart, he'll do a miracle. And you'll begin to look so different. Your wife, your husband, they won't even recognize you. Your kids, they won't even recognize you. But they'll see it. They'll see the fruit of the Holy Spirit in you. And they'll say, I know there's something different. And it can only be God. He's done a work. He's going to do a work. He's going to do a work. There's only a month left. He's going to do a work. That's all he needs. He needs a minute. Some of you, it's just a minute here inside of the presence of God today in this room, and you're going to be different. You're already different. The Holy Spirit hit some of you right now. He's touched you. You're never walking out the same again. You're not. This next month is going to be the best month of the year. Your family, your friends, they're going to see something different on your life. It's the Holy Spirit. Invite Jesus in. If you've never invited Jesus in, you just say it right now. You just say it. Say, Jesus, I want to make you Lord and Savior. Take my life. It's yours. Lay it down at the altar today. Lay it down at the altar. And he will baptize you with the Holy Ghost. And you will never be the same. I know it because I see testimonies in this room. I see people who are not the same person when I met them. They're not the same person when revival began. I see Mike Siwa. I see Ali Siwa. You're a man and woman of God. You guys are different people. You're different people because of the Holy Ghost. He got a hold of you. And what did you do? You said yes. And he's blessed your life every day ever since. You don't even look the same. Praise God. I liked you guys before, by the way. I liked you before. But I didn't know God could do a work like that. I look in the mirror. I didn't know God could do a work like he's done in my life. But he has. You're a living testimony. Let your life be a testimony. There's people outside these walls that need what you got. And it's the Holy Ghost inside of you. Everywhere you go, give him the glory. Give him the praise. Just like what Josh was saying. Everywhere you go, give him the honor. And I'm telling you, people will ask you, they'll say, what's different about you? And all you got to tell them, it's the Holy Ghost. It's the Holy Spirit. I got filled. I got changed. I'm being transformed. My life is new every day. It's fresh. The devil, he doesn't got me anymore. Don't let the devil have you. It's your choice. He can't own you. Give your life to Jesus, and your body becomes a temple of the Holy Spirit living inside of you. You will never be the same. Those angels, they were roaming, they were wondering. They stepped outside of the place God had put them, out of their proper domain. They left their own abode. He has reserved an everlasting chains under darkness for the judgment of the great day. As Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities around them in a similar manner to these, having given themselves over to sexual immorality and gone after strange flesh, are set forth as an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Likewise, also these dreamers, these false teachers, that's who he's talking about here, they defile the flesh, they reject authority, and they speak evil of dignitaries. I told you last week, five signs of a false teacher, five signs of a false prophet. I want to tell you today, five signs of a prophet. Five signs of a man of God. Prophets pray, number one. Prophets pray. They speak to the Lord. Genesis 20, verse 7. Now therefore, restore the man's wife, for he is a prophet. Talking about Abraham. And he will pray for you, and you shall live. God hears the prayers of a prophet. But if you do not restore her, know that you shall surely die, you and all who are yours. Genesis 18, 1. This is about Abraham again. It says this, then the Lord appeared to him by the terebinth trees of Mamre as he was sitting in the tent door in the heat of the day. Number two, prophets rest. We see that in Abraham's life. He rested. He practiced the Sabbath. He honored the Lord. He understood the truth of God's word. Genesis 2, verse 2. And on the seventh day, God ended his work, which he had done. And what did he do? He rested on the seventh day from all his work, which he had done. Then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it he rested from all his work, which God had created and made. Even God rested. You need to rest. Practice the Sabbath. Keep it holy. Today, the rest of the day, I don't know what you had planned, but rest. You might think, no, no, there's things I got to get done today. There's things I got to do. I got a checklist a mile long. Rest. That's what men and women of God do. You're called to the priesthood. You're called to be a prophet, to speak to the Lord, to listen to the Lord. If you're always running and you're always working and you're always doing, that means you don't have time to sit and rest and listen to his voice. If you'll just sit in silence and solitude and rest in his presence, all of a sudden, what's going to happen? You're going to lift your eyes and you're going to see. You're going to see him. You're going to hear him. He's going to give you revelation. All of a sudden, everything that you've been trying to do and trying to accomplish and striving for out of your own effort, your own work, your own flesh, all of a sudden it's going to become easy because you're in his presence, because you rest. That's what happens. Because he rested. Because he rested. He came into the presence of the Lord. Prophets rest. Genesis 18, verse 2. So he lifted his eyes, it says, and look and behold, three men were standing by him. And when he saw them, he ran from the tent door to meet them and bowed himself to the ground. Prophets lift and run. Prophets lift and run. Abraham, I mean this physically and spiritually. Prophets lift and run. Abraham at this point, he was 99 years old. First of all, he hadn't stopped lifting his eyes to look for the Lord, and he hadn't stopped running to meet him. He got the promise that he would be the father of many nations at 75. So here he is at 99, and he's still holding on to the promise. Where are his eyes? He's still looking up. He's not looking down. He's not depressed. He's not down. He still has faith. He's still lifting his eyes and looking for the Lord. Where are you? Where are you going? What are you doing? What are you calling me to? What's next? He was still looking and lifting his eyes at 99. Don't stop lifting your eyes. I don't know how long you've been waiting, how long you've been holding on. You might feel discouraged today. Lift your eyes and look to the hills. He's coming. It'll happen all of a sudden. Don't lose hope in the promises of God. But also I want to tell you, I mean this physically. I believe he lifted and he ran. He was still strong at 99. There's some of us, we can't lift and run and we can't bow. And we're 29, we're 39, we're 49, we're 59. We're not even close to 99, but physically, we're not in a place where we can even lift and run and bow when he does come into the room, when we do come into his presence. And so I want to encourage some of you in here today, begin to steward your body again. Begin to steward your body. Take care of what he's given you, because it's a temple of the Holy Spirit who lives inside of you. Take care of it physically so that when he does come, what does Abraham do, it says? It says he bowed himself to the ground. Some of us, we can't get on our knees and worship anymore. And we just, we're like, oh, no, my body can't handle that. I can't do that. I want to encourage you, begin to steward your body again. And it might just start with just taking a walk. I know there's some of you in here, this is offensive. I know. But it's a choice. It might not feel good to hear this. Not every word feels good. But what did I say a few weeks ago? In the church, you need to be loved, you need to be known. But when you're loved and known, sometimes there's a challenge that comes along with that. I'm telling you this, this is a challenge because I love you and I know you. Take care of your body. It's a temple of the Holy Spirit who lives inside of you. He wants you to be fresh and flourishing all the days of your life, producing fruit even into your old age. He wants you to be able to bow and worship him when he comes in. Have your body prepared for that. Steward it well. Physically and spiritually, he lifted and he ran. He kept running after the Lord, running after his presence. Don't stop chasing him. Don't stop looking for him. Don't give up. Hold on to hope. It doesn't matter if it's been 24 years, 24 months, 24 weeks, or 24 minutes, and you feel like you've waited too long. Don't stop. Don't lose hope. Don't give up now, because I promise you he's coming. Stay planted in God's promises. Stay planted in his promises. Hold on to them. On the days that the devil wants you to give up, that he's trying to discourage you, hold on to the promises. Hold on to Psalm 92. Remember what he's promised you. Because the devil wants to uproot you. He wants to tear out the seed that's been sown in God's field. But if you will just stay planted, the promises will come to pass. God's provision will come. Don't lose hope. Keep lifting, keep running so that you can bow when he comes in. Number four, prophets honor the Lord. How do we show honor? Physically and financially, we see that in Abraham's life. Abraham showed these men honor through a physical posture. He bowed. Then he proceeded to honor them financially because he made a sacrifice from his own possessions. So we show honor through our physical body and through our possessions to bless and honor the men before us. Before us comes the Lord. How do we honor him? How do we honor him physically? In praise. How do we honor him with our possessions? Do we give him our first tenth? Do we give him the tithe? How do you honor him? Prophets bow to the Lord. They honor the Lord. Genesis 18, verse 2, we see this. He lifted his eyes and looked, and he saw these men, and he ran, and he bowed himself to the ground. We see a physical posture of honor. And he said, my Lord, if I have now found favor in your sight, do not pass on by your servant. Please let a little water be brought and wash your feet and rest yourselves under the tree. And I will bring a morsel of bread that you may refresh your hearts. After that, you may pass by and as much as you have come to your servant. And they said, do as you have said. So Abraham hurried into the tent and said, he's not just lingering. He's not just going slow. No. His posture, his physical body represented honor. He ran into the tent. He hurried to show these men honor, to show the Lord honor. And he ran to the herd, and he took a tender and good calf. He gave it to a young man, and he hastened to prepare it. He took the calf and prepared it from his own possessions. He made a sacrifice to show honor. And he took butter and milk and the calf which he had prepared, and he set it before them, and he stood by them under the tree as they ate. Through our physical posture and through our possessions, we show honor to God. It's obedience. We walk in obedience to him. Number five, prophets serve. It says this in verse 8. So he took butter and milk and the calf which he had prepared and set it before them, and he stood by them under the tree as they ate. He was a great man at this time. He had many possessions. He had many people that worked for him. He had land. But he was not above serving. Prophets serve. Men and women of God, we serve. We serve to build the house. We serve to bring honor to the Lord. That's what we do. Find a way to serve him. And Don't do it out of guilt. Don't do it out of, oh, I feel like I have to. No. Do it because you know it's a joy to honor the Lord. Do it because you know it's a joy to walk in obedience to Him. It's a joy and it's an honor and a privilege to serve in His house. If serving is beneath you, the kingdom is above you. You're not worthy of the kingdom. If serving is beneath you, the kingdom is beyond you. It is. Mark 10:45, for even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give His life as a ransom for many. If serving is beneath you, the kingdom is beyond you. Don't fall into that lie. Worship team, I want to invite you up as we get ready to close. If you want these notes, you can text Rev Notes to 94,000. I just want to encourage you today. There's a lot of people in this house. You've stayed planted this year, and He sees you, and He knows you. And I'm telling you, as you continue to lift your eyes and look for Him every day, you'll see Him. And I'm telling you, run to Him. Just run to the Father. Every time you see Him coming in, give Him glory, give Him honor, give Him the praise, and acknowledge Him. Acknowledge how He's worked in your life. Acknowledge how He's working right now, and acknowledge that you believe that He's going to continue to work, that He's bringing good things, that He loves you, that He's for you and not against you. I just keep thinking about Friday night. And it's not too late. I want to encourage somebody in here. Some of you think it's too late. It's not too late for that man and his family, and it's not too late for you. You might be thinking, no, I missed it. I missed the window of opportunity. I missed the window of obedience. I didn't stay planted when I should have. I missed it in my marriage. I missed it with my kids. I missed it with my friends. I missed it with God. And I want to tell you, He's the God of second chances. And everything you need is in His house. In your marriage, in your finances, in your family, in your heart, in your mind, in your soul, everything you need is in God's house. And if in this next season, you'll just recommit to Him and say, Lord, I'm sorry I missed it before, but right here and right now, I want to stand on You. I want You to be the rock and foundation of my life. I want to recommit. I want to get planted back in Your house. I'm telling you, you'll see the promises come. Get planted back in His promises again. Everything you thought the world could provide, everything that you thought you could find out there, you thought you could find through some other avenue, it was a counterfeit. It wasn't the real thing. And it might have satisfied you for a season, but that season's coming to an end. And you know that right now because you can sense God changing the taste and the desire within you. And you don't want what the world has had to offer you. You don't want the counterfeit anymore. You want the real. You want the living God. And I'm telling you, He wants you. He desires you. He loves you. He sent Jesus for you. Everything you need is in the house. Everything you need. Would you just close your eyes? Let's pray. Would you just put your hands out in front of you like you're ready to receive something? Father, we just pray in the name of Your Son, Jesus. We just ask right now that You would just pour out Your presence upon us. God, I just feel such a resistance and a numbness in the room right now. In the name of Jesus, just numbness leave. Some of us, we haven't felt anything in a long time. I just pray that we would be able to feel again. just feel your fire falling right now in this moment. Holy Spirit, just please continue to speak and minister to people in this room. Father, I pray that people in this room would know that repentance is, it's a beautiful thing. It's a good thing. That when we repent and turn back to you, it pleases you. So, Father God, I just pray that there would just be a spirit of repentance in this room. Just pray for every lie to be broken off in the name of Jesus. Every lie the devil's convinced us of, that there's something else out there, that there's something better. Father God, I just pray that we would just get planted in your house and know that everything we need, it's in your house. It comes from you. It flows down. And I just pray that this would be a house that honors you, that gives you all the glory, that will continue to lift our eyes and look for you every day, that we'll just desire you and seek you. Father God, just break our hearts for what breaks yours. Thank you, Jesus. If you need to get into a posture of praise in this moment, physically, during this last song, if you want to bow down and worship, I want to encourage you, find space, make a space to bow down and worship him physically. If he's speaking something new and fresh into you today, I just want to encourage you, find a place to bow down before him and just give him honor. There's no fear of man in this room. We just come to glory him, to give him all the glory, to give him all the praise because he's worthy. Jesus, we just want to come into a posture of praise in this moment. You're worthy. Holy Spirit, please just break pride off of us right here, right now, in the name of Jesus. Amen.